Parshas Achremos Kedoshim. We're going to specifically speak about Kedoshim today, but it really is going to connect to Achremos as well. Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Beis Daber O Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael V'Amartalem. You should say to them, Kedoshim to you. You should be holy. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You could read this in two different ways. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am holy, Hashem your God, or Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am holy, Hashem your God. How we want to look at it, you can look at the Trump and figure that out over there. The Rebbe of Alexander, the Alexander Rebbe, he said, a child whose father is wealthy doesn't really worry about where he's going to get his parnassa from. He doesn't really worry about those types of money issues, about his finances. And the reason why is because he assumes the father is going to take care of him. And when he grows up and whatever he needs, his father will take care of him and give him whatever he needs. That's the assumption that he has. This is the pshat behind Kedoshim to you. You should be holy. You know why? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I'm holy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And if your father is holy, if I'm the one who's holy, I'll be able to take care of you. I'll make sure that you're Kadosh. That's the concept he says to us over here. And he tells us, you don't have to worry. Everything's there for you. You're already set. It's as if you're already there. That's the concept. Now, Rashi says, and everybody knows this Rashi. I'm sure you've heard of this Rashi and Rambam before. We're just going to elaborate. Rashi says that the mitzvah is to stay away from arayas, from illicit relationships, from relationships that are not there for you, as well as any other avera that there might be out there. Stay away from those things. And this is the definition of Kedusha. Kedusha means to stay away from things that are not good. That's the concept of what this is. Kedusha is putting yourself away from everything, as if to separate. And I know we think of Kadosh as being the definition of holy. Kadosh is a little bit different. It's to be Kadesh yourself, to sanctify yourself, make yourself different. That's the concept. Says Rashi, putting on tefillin and tzitzis and things like that, we get that. We know those are mitzvahs that we have to do. We get the concept behind them. That makes you holier, putting on tefillin and wearing tzitzis and kissing a mezuzah. Those things we get. Says Rashi, it's not only that. Not doing an avera also makes you holy. Holiness is not defined only by what you do, but it's also defined by what you stop yourself from doing, from what you don't allow yourself to do. So that's the reason why we talk about the arayas and what happened over here, all the things that you shouldn't do. And on that, we say, if you don't do those, if you don't do the things that you shouldn't have done in the first place, the people that you shouldn't have been together with in the first place, if you do that, well then, you're going to be kadosh. You're going to be a Kadosh. And that takes a little bit of work to understand. But the Gur Aryeh says, this is the concept that all Averos, not only the Arayas over here, but the Averos mentioned in this week's Parsha as well, Kedoshim is a strange Parsha. Unlike all of Vayikra, where Vayikra is talking about Kohanim and the Mizbeach and Korbanos, here Kedoshim comes out of nowhere and says, I've got a couple of Averos here for you. I'm going to throw in some Averos and some Mitzvos that you have to deal with because this is part of being Kadosh. Part of being a Kohen is understanding that and figuring that out. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh adds this on in his second pshat. He says, we think that putting on tefillin is a mitzvah, but if I don't turn off a light on Shabbos, if I stop by a light and I really want to turn it off and I don't, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. He says, no, that is a mitzvah. That is a pure mitzvah. You get schar as if you did a mitzvah. That's what it's like when you don't turn on, when you don't turn off a light when you really want to turn it off, when you don't do something that's wrong. You are getting schar as if you put on a pair of tefillin, as if you daven shema, as if you did anything like that. That's what the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says. Now, the Ramban says a little bit differently. And you got to understand this. This goes a little bit further. Again, there's mitzvah, and then there's precious. Says the Ramban, the idea behind this, the concept behind what Kedoshim to you means, is not only staying away from things that are usur, it's staying away from things that are mutter, but you should really think to yourself, do I really want to do this? That's what Kedoshim to you is. Now let's explain, because this is going to take us a little bit further than where we go. The idea is, and we know this, the Torah forbids us from doing certain things. There are certain things that are usur, that are forbidden, that you cannot do. We know that. But there are other things where the Torah says, this isn't the best idea. I don't think that you should get involved in this. I'm not going to tell you it's usur. It's not usur. But if you're going to ask me, should I be doing this, I'm going to answer you, this isn't the greatest idea for you to get involved. Forbidden relationships, we get. Forbidden foods, we get. But maybe, says Ramban, maybe this is what you're going to do. You're going to say, well, I know it's usur for me to eat pig. I know it's usur for me to eat basar v'chalav. I get that it's usur for me to have this thing and that thing. I get that. But you know what? I'm going to eat steak all day long, and I'm going to love it. I'm going to eat more and more. And I know this is really hard when everybody's eating chicken and chilling. But I'm just saying, like, a person gets down there and says, I know this is mutter. I'm going to go further. I'm going to do more than that. And you know why? Because the Torah never ushers it. The Torah says, I can't have basar b'chalav. But it doesn't say I can't have basar. So I'm going to keep eating basar until I stuff myself. I'm going to make sure that I eat everything I can.
I can only think of really two instances where the Torah recommends against something but doesn't ask for it.
You mean like Ben Sora Amora?
Ben Sora Amora, Isha Sestar.
So there are.
And a girl married.
You're 100% right. This is the pasuk that tells you not to do that. Says the Ramban. What he calls this is a famous line. You probably heard the line before. A menuvel b'rishus ha-Torah. A novel. An abomination with the rishus ha-Torah. If somebody goes up to him and says, come on, you shouldn't stuff yourself like that. He'll say, where does it say in the Torah that it's usher? Why can't I do this? Why can't I overeat? Why can't I just get drunk every night? Where does it say that I'm not allowed to do this? Says the Ramban. It says it right here. Kiddushim to you. I'm expecting more out of you. I'm not expecting you to be like anybody else out there. I want you to be better than that. I want you to be more than that.
So
and here's the
specific examples when they come up. Why do anything? If that's the case, then why...
I haven't even started yet.
Okay.
You're getting me 6 minutes into a shir. Yeah, you can't ask me questions like that. You got to give me some time. Give me some time here, okay? I'm going to get here over here. Sure. Here's the concept. A pure Baal Taiva will do exactly this. He'll marry more women. He'll be together with his wife whenever he wants, as many times as he wants. He'll eat tons of food. He'll drink tons of drinks. Get himself drunk all the time. He'll facilitate his taivas by making sure that he's there. He'll speak with vulgar language, with language that should not be spoken with, inappropriate language by different people. This is what he's going to do. And he'll point to the Torah and tell us that this is the guy. So this is what this pasuk is all about. Limit your taivas, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Limit your taivas and say to yourself, you know what? I don't need this. I don't need this. What they call this in Rav Tzadok language, if you want to go into, and every seminary girl knows this, whether they keep it or not, that's a different story. It depends, I guess, on which seminary they go to and what they serve them for meals. But the last piece, the taiva piece, where you sit there and you know, this is the most kishmai, like you have a cinnamon roll. Just take that cinnamon roll. I don't know if you've, I'm not saying that you should go to Dunkin' Donuts. Well, let's say you went to Dunkin' Donuts and you got one of those coffee rolls with like the chocolate on top. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're an unbelievable tzaddik. For the little cinnamon roll coffee roll with a little chocolate on top, right? And you go ahead and you say to yourself, everybody knows that the inside of the cinnamon roll is the absolute best part, right? I think everybody's going to agree on that. The inside of a Reese's peanut butter cup is the absolute best part. And you sit there and you eat everything around it, you get around, and you have that last piece that's right there. You say to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to defeat my taiva. I'm going to throw it out. We're not requiring you to do this. There's no requirement. The Ramban says, this is what a person can do to become Kadosh. You have no requirement. This is not a mitzvah. Not listed by the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Not listed by the Sefer HaChinuch. Not even really mentioned by the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's an idea of how to be a holy person. To limit these things. We see that the Torah is referring to these things in different places. For example, the only two times where we see somebody getting drunk in Bereishis is Noach and Lot. We see what happened to Noach. What happened with Noach and what happened then? We see what happened to Lot. We know what happened to Lot. Disgusting things, all stemming from the fact that they got drunk. So if a person says, the Torah doesn't say don't get drunk, you're right, the Torah doesn't say it. But it hints to it. It's clear that the Torah is saying, if you get drunk, this is the result. This is what's going to be. And that's something you don't want to get involved with. Or hopefully you won't. Yeah.
Is something like getting drunk something Hashem didn't ask for, probably because he wanted to have more free choice?
Agreed. Yes. That free will that's there. I want you to have the choice. I'm not going to ask for everything for you. I want you to have something. But on that, I want you to know what you can and what you should do. That's the concept over here. I'm sorry?
I'd like to take a drink for Kedoshim too.
That's, yeah. I mean,
well, I'm saying
the idea, it's right, usher. It's not that it's usher, it's that Kedoshim Tiyu includes it. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying is, in order to accomplish this mitzvah, not of the 613, but the concept of Kedoshim Tiyu, here's what you got
to
do.
It's
not usher to get drunk. You asked me, let's wait until the end before I answer that question, okay? A person is asked by his doctor, he's told by his doctor, you got to go in. I don't know if somebody's gone in, and he goes inside the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got to change your eating habits. You've got to do it differently. You can't keep eating the way you've been eating. You can't keep doing what you've been doing to your body. Your body is rebelling. Your body is rejecting everything that's happening to it. So obviously, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. If you don't change your lifestyle, something terrible can happen. And this is our doctor telling us it's not the body. It's your soul that's rejecting yourself. Your soul is not handling it well. And if you don't do something about it now, your soul is going to reject what's going on. It's going to be bad for you spiritually as opposed to physically. That's, again, the concept of your health improving and getting yourself better in that way. The Rabbeinu Bachai talks about this as well, but I'm going to quote the Rambam. This is halacha Hilchos Deos. Parakeh, you should know Hilchos Deos is not for the common person. It's not for somebody who just came in and said, you know what, I'm a Jew now, I'm going to do this, this is what I want to do. Hilchos Deos is for a person who's worked on himself, a person who needs to understand things a little bit deeper. That's what Hilchos Deos is for. And in Parakeh, it says a Talmud Chacham must be different. They should recognize his greatness. They should see that there's something different about them. And a Talmud Chacham should have that persona, that when you look at that Talmud Chacham, you say, wow, that guy's not like anybody else that I've seen before. And you have to see that in a person. Either it's there or it's not there. And I think everybody understands that. Either a person has that or they don't. And maybe everybody's striving to get there. Maybe people have glimpses of it, but they're not fully there. Says the Rambam, this affects his eating habits. This affects the way that he acts with his wife. This affects how he goes to the bathroom. People, we have halachos on how to go to a bathroom. And I hope that no one else is ever going to know if you keep these halachos, except for yourself.
Are you allowed to read that in the bathroom?
You're not allowed to read in the bathroom. But you can go, you have halachos. How to use toilet paper. What to do when you're in the bathroom. What not to do. Can't talk. You can't talk when you're in a bathroom. Halachos. Why? Because to tell us, to be a person that's a kadosh, that's a real, real hush of a person, that's not befitting such a person. That's the concept behind it. Rabbi Yaakov Kanatsky says, these halachos were put here. Not in Hilchos Yisuri Bia, not in Hilchos Machlos Asuros. It's not there because this isn't an issue of foods that are aser. This is not an issue of who to be with and who not to be with. This is an issue of something totally different. Hilchos Deos. You want to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You want to get involved with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to get involved with? Here's what you got to do. You got to be something different. You got to do something just a little bit different. An expectation. Hashem expressing his desire, so to speak, for us and how to live. Rav Moshe Feinstein brings up the Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Tesem Abeis with Yalta. Yalta is the wife of Rav Nachman, who had a desire for Basa B'Chola. I don't know if she was pregnant or she just had the desire altogether. She said, I want to eat Basa B'Chola. I want to have a cheeseburger. So badly, I want to have a cheeseburger. To which Rav Nachman said, what's the problem? Go have cow's udder, a kechal. Go have an udder. The udder is milk and meat put together. That taste of milk is there within the meat. There's a certain way of preparing it, but that taste is there. And then the Gemara says, because everything that's usser in the world, there's a way of eating it beheter. Maybe not the exact same thing. You want pig, chazer? You want to be able to eat such a thing? Says the Gemara, the moach de shibuta, the brain of the shibuta fish, which is in the Tigris and Euphrates River, has the taste of this type of chazer. You'll have it from chazer itself. I don't know. It'd be hard. You'd need somebody who'd know and then has it and is like, yeah. But either way, the concept is the same. Everything has something that has an ability to become mutter. Says Rav Moshe, true. It has the ability to become mutter, but that doesn't mean you should take advantage of it. You need it, Yalta? You need it, Rav Nachman said to his wife? Fine, it's there for you. But if you don't need it, why bother? What are you doing over here? Now, as Jews, as we said, you have to look a little bit different. Someone asked about even eating kosher, why we eat kosher foods, what makes it? We don't answer because it's healthier. It's not even so true. Look at Chant. There's no way that's true, right? There's no way. So what makes kosher food different? What makes it something different? The way we have to say it to them is it's an act. The idea is it's an act of how to think about what we're eating. That we're no longer just stuffing ourselves with any food that we find. That every place we go, we have to sit there and think to ourselves, is this kosher? Is this something I can eat? Or is something that I can't eat? I'm not getting into details of whether you can eat out or whether you can eat in this place or that place. Can I go to Starbucks? It's a question. All these things are questions. But it's a question of thinking. When I walk into a room, I can't just stuff. I have to sit there and say to myself, like I'm on a diet, like I'm being told I can't eat certain things by a doctor. It's the exact same thing over here as well. We're supposed to be there, but we got to be careful. You cannot go to the other extreme. And what happens when you go to the other extreme? Well, that's totally different. You know what? I'm not going to eat any meat. I'm not going to have any wine. I'm not going to involve myself in all these types of things over here. There are times when eating everything and drinking anything and doing things are a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be together with one's wife. There's a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah sometimes to even drink. sometimes to drink. On Pesach, Purim, no other time. Not even a Shalom Zachar. But regardless, there are times when a person has a mitzvah, and that's a mitzvah for you to do. And therefore, you should use it, but use it well. Use it with the right intentions. Use it in the proper fashion so that you grow from it and you don't just lose from it. That's the idea. Mesil Sharm explains to the Akdama. He says in his introduction, he goes into it in his part of Hasidus as well. Everybody thinks that Hasidus is shuckling really strong, right? Rolling around in the snow in the middle of the winter, right? Piercing yourself with like little pieces of glass. They look at that and they say like, oh, that's Hasidus. That's crazy, says the Mesil Sharm. That's nuts. There's no way something that doesn't make any sense would be considered Hasidus. You can't define Hasidus by something that's crazy. What is Hasidus, says the Mesil Sharm? He says, it's exhorting a person, don't act like a fool. Grow, build yourself up, do more and more and more, and allow yourself to become something that you never thought you could become, that you never thought you could ever get there. That's the concept of what it is. Tiferes Yonas and Rabbi Yonas Abshut says in the times of Josephus writes that people were living as Prushim, separate from the rest of the world. There were the Prushim in Yerushalayim, the people were telling me to come and live in Yerushalayim, and there were Prushim who separated themselves from the ways of any normal people. They just said, we're not involved. We don't want to be involved with normal people anymore. They lived in forests. They ate berries. And they, like monks, they drank nothing but water. They made sure that they would stay out there and they did absolutely nothing. He said, the real Prushim, like the Zugos that were living in Yerushalayim, Yeshua ben Prachya, Shimon ben Shetach, Nitai or Bailey, Hillel, Shammai, Shmai, and Avtalion, they saw these people and they told them, you're wrong. That's not what we do. We don't do these types of things. We don't get involved in all these crazy types of situations where we make ourselves so... Listen, you got to be parish. So you stop yourself from eating the extra steak. But you should eat steak. There's nothing wrong with eating a steak. Just make sure it's being done for the right reason. If you want to be really special, only eat meat on Shabbos. That's an unbelievable level. That's a crazy level. Or make sure that the only time you have meat is by a simchas mitzvah, where I'll only eat it by a siyum, or only do it with that. That's an unbelievable level. But to say that I'm never going to eat meat, or that I'm not going to do this, and if you're not ready for it especially, if you're going to live your life where you're telling everybody, yeah, I don't eat meat during the week, I can't believe I made this for myself. That's not life. That's not life. You should be living and being happy and accepting everything you need to do happily, knowing that you're making these chumras for yourself to make yourself happier, better, living a more fulfilled life, not to make yourself into a sad way. That's how Rabbi Yonas and Ibshitz puts it over here. He says this is the concept, Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. We always think Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz is learn as well as work, which is true. But his concept is you should love learning Torah while acting normal with Derech Eretz, the way that normal people would act in the right way. This is the concept, he says.
Rambam says it's better to eat small amount of bad food over eating a large amount of healthy food.
And that makes sense, right? In order to eat, to make yourself healthy and whatever. Well, it does mention that.
Like, you shouldn't tax your digestion.
Yeah, just but that's a different issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not saying never eat the fatty foods. Never
no,
eat
he's
the...
Just eat
he's
in
just
moderation.
Saying eat in moderation. That's the concept. The concept is so obvious. And that's the idea of why these things are still called kadosh. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings in a Lin Shabbat from Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky was one of the three big Magidei Shirim of Panovich Yeshiva. When the Panovich Yeshiva opened with Rav Kahneman, with Rav Yosef Kahneman, so we've got three big Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Shach is the one that everybody knows, Rav Elazar Ben Shach, Rav David Pavarsky, and Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. All three unbelievable Gedolim and great Magidei Shirim. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky once said that any time a person does anything more than what he's expected to do, that's called Kedusha. That's called Kedusha. That's an absolute kadosh. So he says the following. He says, there was a man by the name of Dr. Tzvi, I hope I'm pronouncing this last name correctly, I don't know, Distenik. Dr. Tzvi Distenik. He said that one time he was an ophthalmologist. That doesn't have anything to do with this story, but it took me a long time to remember how to spell ophthalmologist. There's an L in there that you never expected. Anyway, one time, one Simchas Torah fell out on Friday, on Shabbos. So Friday night, remember in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one day of Simchas Torah Shemini Atzeres. So Friday night, they all did their dancing. Everybody was dancing like crazy. And by the way, this only happens in Eretz Yisrael. Simchas Torah cannot fall out on Shabbos in America. It can only fall out on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. So it fell out on Shabbos. So on Friday night, right, everybody was dancing, etc. One guy had a baby boy. There was a Shalom Zachar that night for the baby boy that was born. Right? So the Shalom Zachar, you can imagine. Everybody's dancing like crazy. Everybody has to go home to their meal. Right? By the time the Shalom Zachar started, right, nobody was around. Six people showed up to the Shalom Zachar. Six people ended up showing up. It was difficult for everybody. And the guy was unbelievably thankful. He said, thank you so much for coming. Of course, people showed up at the bris. But the Shalom Zachar, six people ended up showing up, and that was that. So Dr. I keep forgetting his name, Distenick, said that although there wasn't Mesiras Nefesh, it was hard. It was hard. In the end, all six people that went to that Shalom Zachar, every single one of the six, within the year, by the next Simchas Torah, had given birth to a baby boy. Out of those six people, two of them had not had children for quite a while. A third one had had eight girls already. This is his first boy. I think that's a bigger Simcha, but that's my call. I love girls also. Anyway, so that this is the idea. It's an amazing idea. Listen, this is simple. And you could always explain that away and just say whatever it is. But the concept is, you do something that's just a little bit more than what you were expected. You expected to go to the Shalom Zachar? I'm sure. This guy told everybody in Shul, when everybody came up to him and said, listen, I'd love to go to the Shalom Zachar, but I'm exhausted, my kids, whatever. I'm sure he said to them, don't worry about it, you don't have to come. I'm sure he said that to them. And I'm sure they said, we'd love to come, we want to come, whatever it is. But six people did something out of the ordinary. Six people pushed themselves, and those six people were rewarded for it. That's the idea of what a Kaddush is supposed to be. So there's a Shari Aaron here and a Shlach Kaddush as well. Shlach Kaddush says it very simply. This is finally designated for each person. This is no longer everybody has to put on tefillin. Everybody has to daven with a minyan. Everybody has to say Kriya Shema in the proper time. These are mitzvos that are obviously klaliistic. Kiddushim to you is for you. This is for you. You decide what you want to do. Every single person gets to make their own decision, their own ideas. You come up with something that's for you, where you say to yourself, oh, I've got a great idea where I can make myself a kaddush, where I can be something different. You know, one time, I forgot which Rebbe it was, he said to his chassidim, he said, I don't want anybody coming to my tishnai except a real chassid. Only real chassidim can come to my tish. Right? So a couple people showed up. So he turned to one of them and he said, what makes you think that you're a real chassid? How do you know that you're a real chassid? He said, in the Gemara it says that if somebody burns his fingernails, hasorfan, you burn your fingernails, you're a chassid. I burn my fingernails every week. He said, that makes me a chassid. So he smiled and he said, you are a chassid, you get to stay at the tish. People, I don't know if you've ever tried burning fingernails before. Okay? You will burn yourself. I have no clue how you do it. Absolutely no idea. I tried it once. I literally burned down seven houses. There is no way to do this normally. You have to take a glass thing, put a little bit of paper in there, have it inside there. Even then, it's not good. I don't know what happens with the fumes. What?
Use syringe and your paper and your toenail clips.
Yeah, I know, but they're really tiny. I mean, unless you're growing them out like that, you know, like Guinness Book of World Records type, and then you're holding it up to a flame and you're like lighting it up. Right? It's nearly impossible. But a sorfan chassid, if you go...
In a fireplace.
You could do that also, right, if you really want to go in inside. But a sorfan chassid, you go a little bit more than what's necessary. Of course you can throw them down the toilet. Of course you can throw them out in the garbage. But a sorfan, if you go ahead and burn them, you do something a little bit extra, that's a chassid. That's the concept he says over here. Everyone knows the famous line by Rebbe Eloy. You probably heard it, you've heard it tons of times. Rebbe Eloy has this line: if you feel that you can't hold yourself back anymore, you can't hold yourself back, you can't stop yourself from certain taivas, then okay, dress up in black, wear all black and everything, go to a place where no one knows you, and go do whatever you need to do, right? So everybody goes crazy. What does that mean? You can't matter up a Veros like that. You're not allowed to just say like, all right, I'm not in the mood anymore. And just, well, I'm wearing black. And like sit there and say, this is it. I'm going somewhere. And I can you imagine? I'm a mashkiach of Yeshiva. I've been a mashkiach for 9 years now. Can you imagine if I said to a guy and the guy was just like, I'm having a bad time. And he's like, well, here's a ticket to New York. Go to Manhattan, have some fun. What, are you kidding me? Of course you wouldn't do that. That's the most crazy. Maybe that's the problem. But like, of course you wouldn't say that to a person. That's crazy. There's no way that that could be Rebbe Eloy's line. Rebbe Eloy is telling people to do such a thing. And I know there's a Gemara Moed Katan that seems to indicate like this. But here, this is how, the way it's learned right over here by the Chidah. In his Birkei Yosef in Orach Chaim, Reish Lamed Aleph, he says in the name of the Rush in Moed Katan Yud Zayin, in this Gemara, he says the following, and he says, if the guy can't hold himself back from taivas, tell him to go fulfill his taivas, not to do an avera. Go tell him to put on special clothing, because a talmid chacham wouldn't do this type of thing, and tell him to go to La Moray's in Manhattan. Go to Manhattan. Go to the nicest restaurant you can find. Get the nicest steak. Get a huge bottle of, I don't know, Coke and wine or whatever it is that you're going to want to drink there. Sleep in a really nice hotel, right? And the next morning, then come back. You got to give in to your taivas? Give in to your taivas. Don't do anything else, sir. Just don't worry about Kiddushim to you that night. That's an amazing line. We still don't pass like Rebbe Eloy. We don't say that you should ever give in to your... I mean, it's going to happen. You think you give in to your tithes once, it's not going to happen again. But the concept is there. You go ahead, listen to the best music, and go watch the Cubs winning the World Series over on like a loop. Just watch it over and over and over again. The last play, right? Watch the home run being given up by a Yankee, and then sit there and watch it again and again and again, and have that geschmack of like, wow, look what I'm doing. This is unbelievable. This is the greatest. But sit there and then get over it. And we don't pass in that way, and I would assume the reason why is because that shouldn't be your geschmack. Your geschmack shouldn't be sitting there and eating a steak and drinking an awesome wine and watching the Cubs win the World Series. It should be learning a Toys. That's what it should be. And if it's not, come back to yeshiva.
It's better. The
concept.
The
but I get it. I get, yes, that's what Rabbi Eloy is saying. Sometimes people forget. And in that sense, if you need it, says the Chidah, then you need it. If you need it, that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. You have to go ahead and go around. Not to sin, but to allow your tithes to come out. That was his line. Again, within the concept, within the category of Kedoshim to you, right? If you need to be over on this once, that's what you can be over on, but not, nothing more than that.
How do we paskin?
We don't paskin.
Okay, so how do we
Yeah, we don't. How do we paskin?
It's going to happen anyway, so why
no,
not have it
get
happen?
Over it. Get over it.
The reality is
get over it.
I
agree with you. And maybe not everybody's on that level yet. Try to get over it. If you can't get over it, then work on it. Work on it. If you can't do exactly that, then try to go, don't go for the greatest steak. Go for the second to best steak on the menu.
Okay?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to go for the best steak. Just make sure it's the next one down. I have a rule, and I've told people this in yeshiva. When they serve the lunch or they serve the dinner, take the second to best one. That's a line. That's a line of a kadosh. That's what a chassid would do. A chassid would take the second to best one. There's one that's like a really good piece of pizza, and there's another one that's just good. It's just not as good as the first one, and there's one that's like a corner piece. Nobody wants
nobody
the corner piece.
That,
right? But you take the second to best. The second to best. I'm not saying everybody can do this. I'm not even saying that I can do this. I'm saying the concept is there. Yes, Jay.
Is he saying you should have a taste or have the whole thing?
I think he means have the whole thing. I think that's what he means. According to the Birkei Yosef. Yeah. Go and do it. Finish what you got to do. But that's that concept over here. Another aspect of Kedusha is working on your speech, on what you're going to say and what you're not going to say. Then, if a person speaks out words of Kedusha, it changes everything. Then your words are heard by Shemayim. You become one with Shemayim. I'm going to give you another great Gemara. It's again in Chagiga. It's mentioned, not over here. Yeah, Moed Katan. It's in Moed Katan Daf Testament Aleph. On the bottom of the Daf, and it goes to Almud Beis. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, this is before Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went to the cave. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was a young kid. He was told that there were two great men that were leaving the yeshiva on that day, Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmoi and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim. Yehuda ben Gerim, by the way, is the guy that got Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in trouble on Lamed Gimel Beis. He's the one that sent Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai away. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmoi were leaving yeshiva. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai told his son, Rabbi Elazar, go get a bracha for them. They're great men. You have to go get a bracha from them. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon ran after them and said, my father said I should get a bracha from you. There's a whole conversation, whatever, but my father said I should get a bracha from you. So they told him something that sounded like a curse. They told him, you should, I'm forgetting the words over here, but you should bury your children, you should not see them, you should go with it, whatever. Terrible, terrible things. So he went back to his father. His father said to him, what did they tell you? And he said, this is what they told me. They cursed me, and this is what they told me. Rishon Bayachai said, they're all brachos, every single one. Bury your kids means you should see all of their everything they do and even their children. Every time when it says you should go out, you should send your daughters out, it means your daughters should get married. When you should see that, they gave you tremendous brachos. Each one was a separate brachos. So let me ask you something. What was the problem with Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim? That they couldn't have said it normally. Why didn't they go up to Rabbi Elazar and say you should live a long life, you should have a lot of great children and everything should be good? Why'd they have to say it in such a weird way? You know why? Because they knew they weren't holy enough. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was. If they curse Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, what was Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon going to do? He's going to go back and tell it over to his father. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is going to have to explain to them what those brachos mean. And he'll say the brachos with his own mouth. He'll say to his own son, these are the brachos, and say it out. They caused Rabbi Shimon, whose mouth is a special mouth, who never said anything wrong, to bless his son. That's what these great Talmidei Chacham did. It was a chap beyond any other. It's one thing if Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim gave him a bracha. But it's another thing if they caused Rabbi Shimon to give them a bracha. That was the milah of what they did. And it worked beautifully. That's exactly what it was. They caused the bracha of Atzak to be chal. That's the sign of somebody who's a kadosh. Somebody who understands that their mouths are so special. There are certain things you can do, certain things that are not the best. Rav Schwab points out at a wedding. You've heard this bracha all the time. The Misarei Kedushin gets up there. He asks permission. He asks to be made a shliach, by the chasen and kala to make the bracha on their kiddushin, on the kiddushin. Remember, under the chuppah, we do both. We do kiddushin and nisuin. The kiddushin and the chuppah. You're under the chuppah, and the first part of the wedding is the kiddushin. That's the handing over the ring, right? The special bracha that you make. Then they read the ksuva to separate. And then the chuppah is the sheva brachos. The sheva brachos that's inside the chuppah. So there's the kiddushin and the chuppah separated by the reading of the ksuva. Now, the kiddushin, the rav gets up there, and he says, a berei pri agafen, right? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Malach Olam, borei pri agafen. And then he says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Malach Olam, asher kideshanu v'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, right, the regular bracha, al ha'arayos, on Arias, that you should not be together with Arias. He has commanded us to stay away from Arias. There's a problem, says Rosh Schwab. There is never, ever a situation where you make a bracha on a lav. You don't make a bracha on a negative commandment. Who makes a bracha on not doing malacha on Shabbos? Who makes a bracha on not stealing? Where you go up to a person and you're about to take his wallet, bracha toshel mekinim, hello, my shaykh, shom, zelzvanu, alak zelu. You don't do that. Nobody does that. Like, who does such a thing? It sounds great, though, right? It sounds great, right? Go up to people. And then you go up to people, you really get, you're angry, you're driving your car, a guy cuts you off, you go up to the side of the car, you're like, bracha toshem, like, what do you say? There's no such bracha. You don't make brachas on lavin. You make brachas on assays. You should make a bracha over here and the wedding. Bracha toshem, like, al hanisuin. Ala kiddushin, on pruah revu, whatever bracha you're going to be, whatever mitzvah you're going to say it is, make the bracha on the wedding, not on the negative aspect. What in the world is going on here? So he says, he answers, that this bracha is on a mitzvah saseh. It's on the mitzvah saseh of kiddushim to you. It's on the mitzvah of kiddushim to you. The bracha at a wedding is telling you that you're going to be holy. You're going to be special. The kiddushin, the word kiddushin, is based on the kiddusha that you're bringing into the marriage and how you're going to stay away from the arayas. Remember, kiddushim tiyu, according to Rashi, is to stay away from illicit relationships. So this bracha is telling you, you are accomplishing right now kiddushim tiyu. That's the mitzvah that you're doing. That's the concept of what you're doing over here. And that tells us something. Normally, we only make a bracha on a maisa mitzvah. Not on a shev al tasa. Shev al tasa is when you sit around and do nothing. You don't make a bracha on that. You make a bracha on a maisa mitzvah. Putting on tefillin. Putting on mitzitzes. That's when you make a bracha. Right? That's when you do it. Here, it's an amazing concept. Says Rav Schwab, you're making a bracha on a mitzvah saseh. You know what the mitzvah saseh is? Stopping yourself having thoughts of arayas is a mitzvah saseh. It's a positive commandment. It is a positive commandment to stop yourself from thinking this way. Stopping yourself from doing something that's wrong. That's what he says. And that's kiddushin to you. Such a concept, such an unbelievable concept over here. Reb Chaim Knievsky sent messengers over to the Shabsai Tzvi. Everybody, if you know your history a little bit, 350 years ago, there was a Kabbalah was ossered everywhere because of what happened over here. That Shabsai Tzvi started using Kabbalah Mysis. Start showing everybody that he was the Messiah, along with Gada Jose. They had these different things, what they wanted to do, these people that had their ideas. So the Taz, the famous writer of the on the Shulchan Aruch, forgetting his name offhand right now, Reb David, offhand, cannot remember the name. But the Taz sent messengers over to the Shabsai Tzvi, to see if he was really who he said he was. Was he really a possible Messiah? Is this person really going to be it? So he sent over. And they came back with two messages that convinced the Taz that he could not be Mashiach. There's no way he could be Mashiach. Number one, he ate like a pig. He ate by stuffing himself. He ate like this, like that. There's no way Mashiach would eat like that. Mashiach wouldn't eat like a pig. Mashiach would eat normally, putting the spoon to his mouth instead of his mouth to the spoon. That's the concept. That's number one, he said. Number two, the way he slept. He slept as a prakdon. Prakdon, says the Gemara, is when you lie on your back. They saw him sleeping on his back instead of on the side, and that's something that shouldn't be done because of possible shikva zera levatala. And when they saw him on his back, said he can't be Mashiach. See the concept? The concept is to be a kadosh, you have to do things that are a little bit different. Says Rav Chaim Knievsky, that's an aspect of Kedusha that's different. I'm going to tell you another story. Rav Chaim Knievsky brings a story, never heard it before. The Chazon Ish never looked in a mirror. It's something that we don't even think of nowadays. It's brought down by Chazal not to look in a mirror because only women look in mirrors, right? That's what women do. Nowadays, I think most men look in mirrors. That type of thing changed, so that became a little bit different. But the Chazon Ish never saw a mirror. When he first saw his reflection, for the very first time, he thought his brother was on the other side. That's what the Chazon Ish said. He saw Reb Meir, and he thought Reb Meir was right there. How's Reb Meir here? And then he realized it was himself. So this is a real story. The Mahari Asad and the Chassam Sofer were both walking in the government offices in Hungary. The Chassam Sofer was part of the parliament for a little bit. Right? The Mahari Asad was with them. They needed to ask the Hungarian government for something. So they went together to go through the Hungarian government. In the front hallway of the Hungarian government, there was a room, there was a little bit of passageway where there were mirrors all around the whole room. It was huge mirrors all around. So the Mahari Asad and the Chassam Sofer were walking through, and the Mahari Asad looked up, and he turned to the Chassam Sofer, pulled on him, and he said, "Over there is a man who has Ruach HaKodesh. It's a person who has Ruach HaKodesh. We have to go up to him, and we have to give a Shalom Aleichem. Maybe we can get a bracha." And he pulled him over to the Chassam Sofer and started walking toward the man in the mirror. He was looking at himself, but he had never seen himself before. He chopped it eventually. When he saw the man was walking through, he turned. He's like, he's walking, and he realized. All of a sudden, he chopped. The person with Ruach HaKodesh was himself. So he turned to the Chassam Sofer, and he said, he looked at the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer had a smile on. The Chassam Sofer chopped it as soon as he realized what he had said, right? And he chopped that the Mahari Asad was talking about himself. So the Chassam Sofer was smiling already. So Mahari Asad said, "I was talking about you," said to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, "There's no reason to lie. There's absolutely no reason to lie." So that was the chop. There's something to it. Again, I don't know if this is it. Kedoshim to you is to do something a little bit extra, just a little bit more than what's usual. And one of the famous tshuvas that we've discussed before from Rav Moshe, with another 3 minutes, is that tshuva on smoking marijuana. The tshuva is mentioned in Yoredeo Simen Lamed Hei, Yoredeo Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Hei, and we've spoken about that before. Rav Moshe says there are 5 reasons why a person shouldn't do pot. 5 reasons. And he mentions them. The first one is, he says it's harmful for the body. Which again, that could be argued, but the fact is, people that are smoking every day, there are studies out there that it affects their brain size, what they can do, etc. So that's at least out there. But he says it's harmful for the body. Number two, it ruins the mind, which he says is even worse, because you can't do mitzvos and you can't learn Torah without das. And if that ruins your mind, if it doesn't have the ability, that's going to have an effect on him, that's going to be there. Number three, he says, it causes himself to have cravings and desires that he wouldn't have had otherwise, possibly to make him like a Ben Soromor and to make him have a taiva that he wouldn't have had to cause him to sin. Number four, keep it ava aim. Simple one. Your parents wouldn't want you to do it, so that's there. That all those four are out there. I'm not going to argue yes or no. That was for a shir that we gave last year in Parshas, I think it was Vaschanan or Akev, and we spoke about this. That's not for us right now. The fifth one. He gets up with his fifth one and he says, Kedoshim to you. What's Kedoshim to you? Rav Moshe is using this to asser something and say something's asser. And he says, what's Kedoshim to you? He says, according to the Ramban, the way he explains it in the Chumash, some things you just don't need to do. That's the concept. You just don't need to do it. If it's not necessary, if it's not there, aside from any other, there might be other issur in them. There might be cause. Kedoshim to you, simply put. You want to be holy? This is not what a holy person would do. That's his concept, the conceptual idea. Whether or not, again, arguing it, you want to argue it. If you have a stake in a pot plant, I totally understand that. Okay, that's fine. That's your own business. I'm not going to deal with that. But the idea conceptually is Kedoshim Tiyu becomes something that causes people to understand what it is. So it's not one of the 613. It's not. The Rambam doesn't mention it. Sefer HaChinuch, it's not in there because the Rambam doesn't mention it. Smag Bahag, it's not there. Kedoshim Tiyu is not there. What is Kedoshim Tiyu? It's a mitzvah to be better. It's an idea to be better. And in a way, if Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah, and the way we explained Derech Eretz already, is to live the world in the way that it's supposed to be run, but to be a little bit better. Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah, you live your life, but in the same way where you live your life, you try to get that little aspect of Kedoshim to you. I'm not going to force you. I'm going to tell you, this is what you should be doing. Work on yourself just a little bit more. And on that note, you better remember to make an Ala Michya and a Brain of Fashos right now, because that's something you should be doing, not just an extra Chumrah. Let's stop with that, everybody. Have a great Shabbos.